Thank you, Joey. I'm sure most of us were familiar with that passage, and if we weren't, we should be from the Bible study last week. It's during that Bible study, when we were looking at this passage, I mentioned during the study that Luke 4, verses 5 through 8 have always struck me as odd or even wrong to reread it. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." What struck me as odd is Satan's offering to give Jesus authority and glory over the world, but all that glory and authority already belongs to Jesus. And we discussed this a little bit last week, and I appreciate the points that were made there, but it stuck with me throughout the week, and I decided I wanted to look into this a little more. Going to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus created the world. Therefore, how can it not already belong to him? Who is Satan to try and give the world to Jesus? We can also see in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, Jesus' glory transcends the world entirely. "When Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." So not only is Satan offering Jesus something which he already has, but he's offering something that's inferior to the glory Christ has with God in heaven that he gave up when he came to the earth. I continue thinking about this throughout the week and wondering how Satan could believe he could offer the world to Jesus. That got me considering the nature of Satan. And I realized that while I know who Satan is, theory, I've never really sat down and studied him. So that's what I want to talk about today. Any good coach knows that you have to study your opponent in order to defeat them. And much in the same way, that's what I want to look at today. I think we need to know who Satan is, where he comes from, what his goal is, so that we can overcome him. I also wanted to make sure that, you know, my knowledge of Satan was coming from the Bible and not from the world media. Probably doesn't surprise you to know that I found nothing in the Bible about whether or not Satan's a fiddle player, as the Charlie Daniels Band would have us believe. So, let's start with, where did Satan come from? Satan was created by God. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6 tells us, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one, Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist." We can see Satan was created by Jesus and God, and yet Satan's trying to give Jesus stuff. Still doesn't make a lot of sense. Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. If we accept that Satan has dominion over hell, well, this says that God created that too. So, and the passage from John 1 says all things were made through the word of God. Therefore, Satan must have been created by God. All right, so we've established Satan as a created being. The other part is Satan was created as good. Originally, 1 Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Okay, well, Satan was created as good. Well, 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Going back to what Brett said. If there's no darkness in God, how could he have created something that wasn't good? Turns out we have a bit of a dichotomy here between Brett's talk and mine, light versus dark. So, Satan was the first sinner. 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning since the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So very early on, this says from the beginning, so Satan was working against God. Despite being created by God as a good being, Satan used his own desires to work against God for evil. Revelations tells us that Satan was thrown out of heaven. Revelations 12:7-9. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And a great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So we see here Satan warred against God, and God cast him out of heaven. Jude 6 tells us, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he is kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. It appears that, again, this is talking about Satan and the angels who went with him being cast out of heaven because they overstepped their bounds. Probably because Satan was not doing good, not doing the will of God. So now we've kind of established where Satan came from, that he was not created to be the way he is, but had made a choice to not do the will of God. So what does Satan do? And as I was looking through the Bible, one thing that really sticks out to me is that, for the most part, Satan does not take direct action, in my mind. I'm ignoring the story of Job here as kind of a one-off, because definitely there God does allow Satan to take direct action against someone. But, for the most part, Satan works through us, through mankind, to tempt people away from God, to tempt people to do what Satan wants and not what God wants. We know that temptation does not come from God. James 1:13 tells us, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God's not the one that's going to tempt us to do something that's wrong. That most likely comes from Satan. Genesis 3, 1 through 5, we can see the first temptation of man here. Now the serpent was made more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So we see here Satan tempting Eve to do wrong. He doesn't force her to eat the fruit, but he does tempt her to do so through what are essentially lies, or at least misleading. She didn't die immediately, but she no longer had the eternal life that Adam and Eve had in the garden. We also see where Satan tempted Jesus earlier. He thought that while Jesus was man and flesh and not truly God at the time, though he was, that he could tempt Jesus. 1 Thessalonians tells us in 3 and 5, "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." 1 Corinthians 7 and 5, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." In Acts 5 and 3, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back yourself for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?'" So we can see throughout these accounts that people are worried, are either directly tempted by Satan, or Paul is worried about people being tempted by Satan to do wrong. Now, coming back a little bit to what started this train of thought for me is why Satan thought he could give Jesus the world. And the answer is actually in the Bible. In John 12, 30 through 32, Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up on the earth, will draw all people to myself." Well, if the ruler of this world is being cast out, obviously Jesus was not the ruler of the world. So that really only leaves one other being. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." This is the root of why Satan believed he could give the world to Jesus in Luke 4. He was the ruler of the world when he tried to do that, because men had allowed him to be the ruler instead of allowing God to rule. However, we can also see that it is possible to oppose Satan. One way we can do that is controlling our anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Live our lives respectably. 1 Timothy 3 and 7. "Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." And in chapter 5, 14 through 17 of 1 Timothy, "So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 through 11, we see that we're supposed to forgive others. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough, so you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. I believe Paul is saying here that forgive others when they trespass against you, otherwise their guilt may be so great that they fall further into sin and into Satan's clutches. Pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, in Luke chapter 22, verse 40, and when he came into the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Be alert. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." And finally, be faithful. In the letter to the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2, it says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus knows who Satan is because Jesus created him. Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Hebrews 14, 15 through 16 tells us Jesus knows exactly what we go through when we're tempted by Satan. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through all the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus has the power to defeat Satan and is willing to share that with those who follow him. In Ephesians 1, 16 through 23, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." As we can see, Jesus has more power than Satan ever will. And he will use that power for us if we believe in him and accept him as our God. If you're ready to do that now by confessing your belief and being baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.